B-Pod Studios.
What's up? Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. It was a disgrace because that was horrific.
Mr. Unlimited. It's Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985. And you can get a little video representation of the show right there on the twitch.tv. Search 98.5 The Sports Hub. And in addition, feel free to get the 98.5 The Sports Hub application. Because that has all the podcasts, has the live stream of the radio station, and all the podcasts that I already said, and all the articles and things of that nature. All right. If you are just getting up, the President of the United States has COVID, he says. I tend to believe, but it was interesting because Nick, John, and I all were like, eh. I wonder if it's true, but I
you're never quite sure.
Well, it's funny. It's like I was, you know, because that's like the first thing a lot of people think. But the more you actually think about it, the more you're like, man. I mean, the stock market apparently when
the
all that
future
happens,
is
not really bad.
Yeah, it's going to open very, very low today. The Dow futures are down 400 points. But I will say this. I learned of it from the Toucher and Rich Twitter account, which had tweeted out around, because I looked at it about 4:15 in the morning, Twitter, and the Toucher and Rich account. Was it like 1 o'clock in the morning that you had that information, Rich, that you retweeted?
Well, so I didn't retweet it till about like 3:45 or something, but my wife, who is, you know, she is a teacher, and she was grading papers, and she woke me up at 1 in the morning, and she goes, Rich, the president and his wife, they've got coronavirus. And I was like, what? And then when I fell back asleep, I thought it was like a dream. And when I woke up, I'm like, oh, yeah, wow, that really happened. Now, yesterday, if the whole way this happened and people found out about it was crazy. So like around, I guess, 8 o'clock last night, a reporter for, it might have been Bloomberg, leaked out that Hope Hicks, who is the very attractive assistant to Mr. Donald Trump, she's basically one of the closest people to him. She traveled to in Air Force One to his debate on Tuesday. She went to his rally the next day. I believe it was in Minnesota. And she was on the plane with him the entire time. And on Wednesday, she started feeling symptoms. And by Wednesday night, they said that that she ended up testing positive. So the White House apparently knew about this on Wednesday night, but Trump still held a fundraiser on Thursday.
Ouch.
And his press secretary, who was with them as well, held a briefing.
Oh, boy.
So, like, they knew on Wednesday that they had been that he had been right next to Hope Hicks, who was infected. Now, we also don't know whether it was Hope Hicks who infected him or he infected her, whether he had already had it at that time. But we do know that her thing was leaked out first. So now there's this list of people who were on the plane and right next to Donald Trump this entire time. Melania, obviously, Rudy Giuliani, almost all of the Trump kids, Ivanka, Jared, Donald Trump Jr., his girlfriend Kimberly Guilfoyle, Guilfoyle, I think it is, Eric Trump, Laura Trump, Tiffany Trump, and as I was mentioning, Kaylee...
Tiffany Trump popping out of nowhere.
Yeah, she's back
saying,
in the
game,
apparently.
Where did I come from? She was right there in the front row at the debate, and you're like, how did you get here?
So all of those people were there,
you
and then you
the
had...
You and Eric, woof, you're stinking up the joint.
Tiffany's not bad looking. She's all right.
Is she the blonde?
Yeah, well, yeah. The
many, many gums? Much gum?
She may have, yes.
As Stewie on the Family, I would say the bad gum tooth ratio. Because her and Eric both have, they're gum crazy.
Mm-hmm. There's mouths, a lot of gums there, yes.
Yeah, their mouth just said, listen, we got, forget the chompers. Let's just go right to what grows them.
But here's the other, like, thing that everyone's thinking about is that, you know, despite, I guess, testing negative before the debates, they're saying that there's a chance that he could have been infected even then because, you know, there's a lot of false positives or false negatives, rather, that are out there.
Sure.
So now everyone's worried about Biden. Biden has to get tests. I guess Pence was with him as well.
I have to ask this, though. Were him and Biden any closer than the lecterns?
Because I don't think so.
Then Biden shouldn't have a problem.
Yeah, right.
And that's well over 6 feet.
No, but it is interesting because, Tatis, I can't have this on with that dumb bat flip. All right.
You're talking about the Cardinals and the Padres
highlights.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Well, my $100.
Yeah, just turn to the Jets highlights. It'll make you feel
good. It does. You know I wanted them to lose that game. and I did. And all right. So anyway, because what's funny is I was thinking like how corny it was that they couldn't shake hands. But here I am with egg on my face because then you might have had a situation.
Right.
And so the thing is, too, is if you saw the audience as well, and this was something that, you know, they mentioned before the debate started, his family, you know, they were supposed to be wearing masks and they didn't. And so they're in the crowd not wearing masks as well. You know, not knowing that at this time, definitely Hope Hicks, you know, I would think had it because she the very next day, you know, was found positive. And that might have been part of the thing that spread it all around. But now they're doing all the, you know, they're going through all the videos of who is he close to, who is he with. And, you know, this morning there's going to be a lot of these people all taking tests to figure out just how deep this goes. But, you know, he is holed up right now at the White House, and there's questions as to whether or not he's going to, you know, address the country today. But, you know, that's the thing about it, too, is, you know, we have two guys up for president right now who are both in that high-risk category, which is – this could send – I mean, this is really strange that we're sitting there having this conversation, you know?
Well, the president is overweight. He's in his 70s, and he's got to have some stuff wrong with him. And so,
well, there was that mystery visit that he had a couple of months ago to Walter Reed that nobody really knows why that happened. Yeah, I mean, it's the more you think about it, the stranger this all becomes. And you know, it's weird. I was reading about how if somebody is not physically able to perform the task. You know, this has only happened a couple of times where they've signed over the power to the vice president. And I realized that the two most recent times were just like when Ronald Reagan, I think George Bush went to get colonoscopies. Mm. So just like, I guess, you know, because they put you under, they don't know. I guess there's that risk there that you might not come back or whatever.
Oh, yeah, because you might not want to.
It's heaven.
Yeah, you might just say, let me die here on this bed. I enjoy the tube.
By the way, colonoscopy, one of the easiest things I've ever done, except for the drinking of the juice beforehand. But, I mean, I laid down, and they said, all right, it'll be over in a moment. And it's over.
I was due one this year, and the corona robbed me of it, so I have to make it. And I can't now because I'm out of sick days. So
sure.
So next year I have to make an appointment for a nice 2021, how do you do?
Right there with you.
Yep. So, yeah. And so it should work this time, the anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Oh, it's great, Fred. It's great.
No, I've had it. But I woke up at the end of it, like, sort of.
Ooh. Really? So while it was still going on?
Because I was like, more drugs. And they were like, it's over. It's almost over. And then they were retracting it at that point. So I, just felt a little bit, but I was still, you know, heavily drugged. I just was aware of what was going on, but it wasn't like I woke up and it was like right now, you know, where I was like, oh, I'm feeling great. Or, you know, like, so there you go. The president of the United States has the vid. He's got a little bit of the C to the V, the COVID.
Well, they're saying 19. that that this might be, well, that more than likely that's the end of the live debates. Like, what's going to happen is they're, I guess, planning for a Zoom-type debate for the next go-around, which is not supposed to be until the 15th. So that's like the 2 weeks, you know, that usually go by where you're supposed to quarantine. But who knows whether or not anyone would even still agree to do it, because it's just at the end of the 2 weeks. But that might also solve that problem that a lot of people have been talking about how do you keep things in order? How do you mute people? Like, you know, it's a little bit easier when it's a Zoom debate as opposed to just two guys at a podium. So look for that change as well. That's, I mean, everything, well, this is just going to be the weirdest month, guys.
Yeah, this is up in the
air.
As
opposed to what?
As opposed to everything, I guess.
Let's consider what has just happened to all of us. Really? Okay.
We'll see. You almost have to have the debate in person. We'll see. They might have to delay it, but I don't know. I was wrong about the football games. But then again, the test cup, I don't know if I was wrong about the football games in that I didn't insist that they wouldn't change the date of the game.
What they might do, Fred, is you're right. They might skip this second one
right,
and then do the third one, which I think is a week before the election.
Yeah, the election is a month from tomorrow.
Okay, so I think that there's one that's in 3 weeks that maybe, just maybe, they'll be able to do live. But I guarantee you that second one, no matter what, that's not going to be an in-person thing anymore. They're not going to be able to do that. I don't think anybody would agree to it at this point.
What,
and that's
person?
The other thing, too, is that, yeah, the in-person one in 2 weeks. The one in 2 weeks. In three weeks, it might be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing about this is they're trying to figure out, because there's a ton of press that cover both of them, and there was this one guy who was like a radio pool reporter who was on Air Force One with Donald Trump coming back from his rally after Hope Hicks had apparently already had it. It was confirmed that she had it. That was set this morning to get on a plane with Joe Biden to go to wherever he was visiting, and they're calling everyone going, no, this is all off. We're not doing any of this. But I don't know whether or not there was any crossover between the press that was covering Trump and the press that was covering Joe Biden. So apparently everyone in Biden's camp is getting tested this morning to make sure that they don't have it as well, just because all of these, you know, there's crossover on all the people who cover them. And yesterday, as we were saying, the press conference that happened with his press secretary, she knew at that point that she was next to Hope Hicks, who was found positive, and she did that press conference in front of the press with no mask on and stuff. So this is going to be very, very strange the next 24, 48 hours to see how this all pans out.
Yes. So very interesting. Very, very interesting what's going on there. All right, Rich. By the way, there is a Chad Finn article about like the ratings, whatever, everyone was number one. I am fascinated by who comments on these things. These are people, because I read them every time, and they just are not liking anything.
No. Well, they comment to tell you that they don't listen and they don't care. And yeah. It's, why are you commenting?
No, because they're old people. And then they rip on the Globe, which you're like, you're commenting on the Globe website.
Like, then why are you clicking on it? Right.
Right, which is under a paywall, which you're doing. And even if it wasn't under a paywall, you're consuming it.
Right.
So you can hate
it
all you
want. Like Mountain Dew from a vending machine saying, I hate Mountain Dew.
And then throwing it away.
Right. But I mean, them clicks.
It's fun. And then there's always like an Eddie Adelman reference so you can get the age range of the people. But they are just.
You guys who know Eddie Adelman. I know Eddie Adelman.
No. It's always like Eddie Adelman sucks. And you're like, okay. Like
what?
Like why? Like what do you care?
He's been out for a decade.
Yeah, like why do you care?
What's that about?
So like, but they almost to a person hate everything. Because they'll go how much they hate EEI, and then they'll go, and they, you know, and don't get me started on the Sports Hub. The state of Boston sports radio is abysmal. And meanwhile, there's like the stations, if you put them together, it's like, you know, 70% of the men in the city are listening to them. But it's all horrible. It's really quite interesting. I do enjoy reading those. It's better than Twitter. Because these are like
not by much.
Well, these are people that can't figure out Twitter.
Ah,
and Twitter is
it's too complicated for them.
Oh yeah, if you go to if you're in like the group therapy, they can break that all down for you. They break down the people that are on there, and you're like, oof.
Mm-hmm.
Not even you asking, because there's like classes on it, and oh yeah, the mindset behind it. It's very disturbing, very sad.
Yeah,
if there's a whole. archetype now of people that they can kind of, that's the correct term, they can kind of profile the people and they tell you like what their lives are like almost in the, you know, like, if, all right. So you kind of, it's a good exercise because you start to feel a little bit of pity. And I'm not kidding. Or I would tell you this off the air, is that you start feeling like a little bit of pity for the people on Twitter that are under like assumed names because they break it down because they don't want you doing it, you know?
So much you're heading down that path.
So yeah, because it's like real, like it's a sign of like really bad stuff. Like if you start doing that, like because a big thing in... I'll just tell you this is because while we're on the subject, because if you're doing it on Twitter, you really got to think about it because when they're talking about like negative behaviors and all this stuff, they're like, it's real bad. It's like a sign of like things have reached a point where you're like extremely isolated and just working through some stuff that you need to get in somewhere quick, start talking to a real person. All right, Rich, what are we going to talk about now that I've given my PSA? What are we going to talk about, sir?
Well, everyone talked about the South Park special, but the best comedy of the week was on ESPN last night. Yeah, you got to get to that Jets game.
Matt, I saw the South Park special yesterday. I will give the first 30 minutes an A and the second 30 minutes a B-minus is what I will do for that. We will be back in just...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, for the worst team in the league, last night started with an amazing, unexpected moment of hope.
Donald in the shotgun. Takes the snap and drops the throw. Under pressure. Tries to avoid a sack and somehow does. Makes a man miss. To the 30. At the 20. 10. 5. Unbelievable. Touchdown. Sam Darnold was dead to rights behind the line of scrimmage. He takes it to the house.
Look at the wheels on Sammy D, the speed kick.
He almost slid. He almost slid down midway yep. through that run.
And they didn't touch him.
He thought he was going to get hit and didn't, and crouched down in mid-stride and then popped back up and ran for a touchdown.
If I was Vic Fangio, I would have fired my defensive coordinator immediately.
Yank all 11 guys off the field and replace them with 11 new guys.
Until you see the Jets defense. And then you
well, that's true. That's true. That's
just not that bad.
By comparison,
yeah.
I don't know how that wins. Sammy D alluded about 47 missed tackles.
He's not slow.
It was just weird and unexpected. 46 yards to the house, and we were off. Too bad that it was going to be all bad news from there on out.
Play action, drops the throw, looks left, looks right, under pressure, scrambling back near midfield and gets thrown down. Well, that time Sam Darnold took a sack that he didn't need to take and got thrown down on his throwing shoulder. And he is nursing that throwing shoulder a bit, looking over at the sideline.
He's hurt.
I'm not sure if Sam Darnold is going to be able to snap this next play.
I'll tell you what, Darnold's tough as hell because he took a brutal body slam from Alexander Johnson, and it looked like he broke his collarbone. I think that they even said that on the broadcast, and we've seen it happen before. He left the game only to return not much after. But boy, did his game stink after that. At one point, Sam Darnold seemed to sack himself. Like, what happened with that play? He just kind of fell down. I'm not sure what happened. But in the end, the Jets jetsed all over themselves last night. They were in a position to win. They committed dumb penalty after dumb penalty, none worse than Quinn and Williams' face mask on Brett Rypien with under about 5 minutes to play. That penalty, Fred, was basically responsible for Denver's game-winning drive.
That's
which
right.
I know
it gave them Leonard. Or it didn't give them Leonard. It gave them the kid from Clemson, Trevor Lawrence. Baby. Good. Keep face. They probably told him the face mask. They said, Williams said, go rough the kid up. Get out there. Tank for Trevor.
Oh, woo! My God, Fred. I mean, then they went 0-for-3 in the red zone.
They're not firing just Gase either.
The Athletic reported this morning that Gase is still the head coach.
Well, you got to ride that pony. Well, you're on the failure train right
here's
now.
Here's the deal. All right, so they're willing to ruin Darnold. So whatever Darnold is, it's not good now. And
that
so
sucks,
yeah. So they've done something to him.
And the thing is, you see flashes. Yes, he made some good throws last night.
He can roll right and run full speed and throw in the air. He does it every game. I've seen it every game. It's getting a little old. I mean, and then you go, oh, wow, look at that. But that's just a trick he does. So they're completely, I guess, fine in ruining him because that's the evidence by keeping Gase. Now, apparently Christopher Johnson, because Woody Johnson, who actually owns the team, is the U.S. consulate to ambassador in Ireland. Because Johnson, that good Irish name. And he's over there with his Johnson & Johnson empire lording over Ireland. So Christopher Johnson, who hired Gase, I guess, is such a weak, yellow, ballless prick that he doesn't have the balls, to use the term twice, to fire Gase. So, because he doesn't want to admit he's wrong. So might as well ride it out. Ride out the season. Don't win a game.
Yep.
Gase apparently doesn't care.
Well, he was asked yesterday about, this is happening a lot, but, I mean, after yesterday, he was asked, hey, are you worried about your job?
What would you say to fans who don't want to see you be the coach of this team pass tonight?
I know we're working to get this thing right. I mean, I'm not happy about this. I mean, I know we can play way better than this. I know we can not beat ourselves and do the things we're doing.
Even Sammy D can't stop getting questions about Adam Gase's future.
There's already been a ton of speculation about Adam's security. I mean, how do you feel now? I mean, it's only going to increase now with being 0-4.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing I'm worried about. I mean, you know, obviously I love Adam, but, you know, it's not my decision to make.
I was going to kill him for, you know, at the end, Fred, they were in position where they could have come back to win. But, I mean, twice. There were two fourth down just sacks that he took.
Oh, their offensive line is absolutely terrible. Their left tackle got hurt during the game again, too.
He never should have been out there in the first place.
No. Yep, Gase is a big fan of running people out there. As much as Le'Veon Bell wouldn't matter anymore, because Le'Veon Bell now goes, oh, wait a second, at Michigan State and in Pittsburgh, I had something called an offensive line, so I could afford to dance around in the backfield and wait for a hole to open. But when you have no offensive line and you dance around in the backfield, you lose 2 yards.
How long did Becton last? A series? Two series?
Yeah, two
series. I saw him sitting on the bench holding that shoulder like it was hanging
off.
Let's
put it this way. After the Darnold run, I was satisfied with how badly the Jets played that they were going to lose the game, so I turned it off and went to bed. Because I was like, all right, they're going to lose. Like,
it was actually a pretty entertaining game, I'm not going to lie. For it being two awful teams, it was very watchable.
Especially the first half, if you love people getting injured in horrible, horrible penalties.
And flags. And the thing is like all the flags were like, yep, that's a flag.
Comical defense as well. I was talking to Fred about that touchdown pass to Jerry Jeudy. I've never seen this before. Pierre Desir had inside position on a long pass by Brett Rypien, which is basically a pop-up. And finally, when it comes down, it goes through Pierre Desir's hands, hits him in the face, and then Jeudy takes the ball off his face and walks into the end zone.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
By the way, Desir might never play another football game again. The Jets dressed something like four corners. Two got hurt, which you saw. But they had not dressed guys that could have come in and filled in. So they had a rookie, like an undrafted rookie or a late-round pick rookie, in there for most of the game. They had Desir, who they had benched, I believe, earlier in the season, and he was in there as well. So, yeah, it's an unmitigated disaster.
Well, Fred, you've been watching these games, so this is really my first full Jets experience of this season. But, man, and I've heard everyone talk about this, but seeing the massive discipline problem that they have on defense truly is special.
Well,
I mean,
again, Greg
they
Williams
lead the league in roughing the –
Greg Williams style. He probably said, you know, hit the kid, frazzle him. And that's one thing when you have all pros on your defense, but when you have a bunch of jabronis, they might not have one good player on their defense, because Marcus Mazenet was an aberration in week one because he's no good anymore.
I saw him make one tackle in the backfield last night, Fred.
Yeah, right. When you're in a Greg Williams system and he blitzes you every other play, yes, I would imagine that occasionally you'll run free. And then
Fred, they lead the league in roughing the passer penalties, I think, by like three after 4 weeks.
Yes.
Like, that's insane that they do that.
And that's Greg Williams style. And then, but it doesn't work when you suck. And Quentin Williams, by the way, the number three pick, another one of these Jets that couldn't lose, along with Leonard Williams, another one of these Jets that was just a great, solid pick. Best player in the draft. You don't draft by need at this point. He sucks. So good. Everything about that team is garbage, except for the kid that's the moose at left tackle that's hurt all the time.
Kai Becton.
I don't know if they have a player to build around.
That guy that jumped out of the pool, is that the dude
that's Wirfs. He's the right tackle for Brady in Tampa.
Yeah.
That's Wirfs.
No. You would know Becton.
No, Becton was the guy who pushed the truck up the hill.
Yeah, he's the truck guy. All right.
That was
Becton. Other superstar.
Becton is probably the largest individual next to Shaquille O'Neal you would ever meet, I imagine, if you ran into him. All right.
So, Fred, real quick, I want to play this for you before we break because it's real quick. But I don't know if you said you went to bed, so you probably didn't. Everybody hates Greg Williams, who's played against him. Like, I mean, players, ex-players, and one of those ex-players that hates him is Steve Smith. And he got into it with Joe Thomas after the game. I love Steve Smith. Yep. I always love Steve Smith.
We had him on in one of the Super Bowls, didn't we?
And
we
he does not care. He doesn't have a filter, but he hates Greg Williams. And he went back and forth with Joe Thomas after the game, and here's what he was talking about Greg Williams.
I'm not defending Greg Williams at all or his defensive line for any of those hits. I'm trying not to curse on TV.
Well, don't cuss.
But
what I'm saying, the offensive line for the Broncos
I'm just telling you,
also
Greg
has
Williams
a responsibility
is
to protect
BS.
Their quarterback.
Man, what? Listen, we can sit here till we can be here till 5 a.m. You can sell me the river. You can sell me the bridge. I'm telling you, I played against Greg, and I'm not buying what you're trying to sell me. I don't even got no cash on me.
He said Greg Williams all about that BS. He hates Greg Williams.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I just told you, Greg. I didn't hear it, and I could have told you. Greg Williams is a dirt. He coaches to be intimidating and to be physical and to play on the edge and to take these penalties. He's willing to take them, and that's one thing. You got to know when to take the penalties, and B, you can't suck. And there is nobody on that defense. They gave Anderson all that money. He sucks. Quentin Williams, number three pick overall in the draft, sucks. The linebacker that was the most highest paid inside linebacker of all time they got from Baltimore decided not to play because of COVID. Marcus May, who was the apprentice to Jamal Adams, sucks. And he was a second round pick. That was the draft they went safety in the first two rounds. Like geniuses.
Greg Williams, by the way, he was the kingpin in the Bounty Gate scandal, right? Like he was the guy
Greg
down
Williams.
In.
Yes. Okay. Yes,
that's what I thought. Right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, he's a prick, and he's always been that way. And he thinks that teams would clamor for him to be. What was he saying about? I've had five teams already ask me to be a head coach. Yeah,
he was in Cleveland.
They have two baseless egos in that locker in the coaching staff. They have Gase, who thinks he's a stud, even though there's absolutely no evidence of that, except that he got to stand next to Peyton Manning on the sideline. Listen, I was sold that Gase was this quarterback guru, that he was this guy that was going to change Darnold. What did I know about Adam Gase? Adam Gase sucks. I mean, he's a terrible, terrible, terrible football coach, and they're a terrible, terrible, terrible team. And hopefully they'll get Trevor Lawrence, but something's going to happen where they won't. And
that would suck if they ruin him. That really would suck.
Well, they've ruined
Darnold. I'm looking forward to seeing in the NFL.
Well, they're not going to ruin. They'll ruin him in a different way. Gase won't ruin him, but they'll ruin him in a different way.
Different head coach.
Because they won't ruin him. They won't hire Eric Bieniemy. I can tell you that, because that would make sense. All right, we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Go! 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 Just go! 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 Go!
is my tale. Astrobator, prime time primo, rhyme time crime, like no other in this lifetime. White House killer, dead in lifelines. Broke this joke out or die trying. Unprecedented, demented, mini presidented. Nazi, Gestapo, dictator, defendant. It's not what you think, it's what you follow. Run for them jewels, drink from that bottle. Another 4 years, gonna gut your hollow. Gutted out, dried up, broken, can't borrow.
State of the Union, shut the
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That's off the new Public Enemy album. Not a fan of the president, Chuck D.
Man, you can't split those two up. I'm so glad Flavor Flav is back with him. Chuck D is just, you know, Chuck D has one of the, in my opinion, just one of the best voices in rap.
Yes,
I love
yes.
his voice.
But, yeah, it's one of the best voices, no question. He's actually pretty good on this record. The record's really, really good. Guess how old they are? We did this yesterday off air. Guess how old they are.
Okay, so, like, I mean, when they were making albums in the late 80s, they were probably 25. So I am thinking at this point, they've got to be 61.
Chuck D is 61, and Flavor Flav is 60.
How about that?
Because when the first record came out, Chuck D was, like, older. He was definitely in his mid-20s when the first record came out. He was a college graduate, and then he met Mr. Flavor Flav. He was working at a radio station there at a college radio station in Long Island that also brought us De La Soul.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few rap albums that I could recite from front to back. That's it. It would be De La Soul is Dead. I loved that album.
I love that album as well.
All right, well, after the Bruins' unexpected quick outing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, it looks like Don Sweeney is not messing around when it comes to the trade market.
Yes, we have Fluto Ushinzawa, by the way, on 820, who's been really good about this news. But to continue, because I have some questions that maybe John can answer.
Okay. Yeah, he has been great, Fluto, and he came out with something yesterday that we'll discuss that kind of breaks all of this down. But the one name that reports are talking about that Sweeney has been shopping around is Tuukka Rask. So Rask has one more year left on his contract. That's right. After everything that happened at the end of the season and all the mystery and intrigue.
Give Fred credit.
No. I'm not looking for credit. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying that you are. What I am saying is you have been all along sure that the Bruins are going to try and trade him. I bought into what Don Sweeney was selling immediately after Tuukka opted out. And the Bruins uniformly had Rask's back, and it looked like they wanted him to return, Sweeney especially. And I bought it. I bought it.
But John, even if they did believe what he was saying, you know, there as a GM, you have to start saying to yourself, all right, this guy is, for one reason or another, we're missing out on it. And we're missing out on Tuukka Rask. On top of that, he has stated that his heart might not be into it after this contract is done. So if you're Don Sweeney, there's part of you goes, all right, if he's got a year left, let's see if we can get
but
something
Rich,
for
you've,
him.
But, Rich, you said that they were keep him, that there's no one else there, and that
no,
he left
my whole
good
thing
reasons.
Is that, but that's the other part of it, is if they are going to get rid of Tuukka Rask, they sure as hell better have a plan because they can't win without him right now. He's the second best goalie in the league
if you plan to contend. And we're assuming that's the case. If you plan to contend, you damn well better have a replacement in mind because the free agent market's not going to get it done.
They believe that they have young goaltending. They believe that they have a backup for Hawks.
But not a guy who is the backbone of a team that's going to go deep in the playoffs.
They have a goaltender they don't want to trade.
Vladar, right?
Yes.
Or the kid Swayman, but neither of them
not
are ready.
Swayman.
But neither of them are ready to step in and be a goaltender that starts 50 or 60 games.
No, but they believe that they have a goaltender that is capable of backing up
right.
Halak.
But they're in win now mode.
But yeah, Halak is not, and we can all agree that Halak's not the guy.
Okay, that's fine. They don't, I mean, I think that he could definitely be a goaltender and a cup contender.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
That's fine, but
see, to Halak?
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe. See, put it this way. I don't think it's awful if Halak is your goalie. I don't think it's good enough to win a cup.
Nope. Well, you'll see what happens.
Well, maybe there's a Khudobin situation. Maybe he, you know, ends up.
Maybe he will find it because I didn't think Khudobin was capable of what he just did for Dallas.
All I got to say is I'm not surprised at all. And I understand that you guys heard different things than I heard,
but I am not surprised at all, and I don't look for that to end anytime soon. The eagerness of the Bruins to shop Mr. Tuukka Rask.
Well, TSN released its trade bait board yesterday, and the TSN insider Frank Saravalli, he said that many were wondering if there would be fallout from Rask's decision to leave the bubble for family reasons, a decision that was certainly supported by teammates, but multiple sources indicate that Don Sweeney has initiated conversations with teams about Rask's market value over the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, you know, for him to mention the bubble thing is interesting. And that's the one thing that I have said is that even if you are as sympathetic as it gets and you feel that way for Tuukka, he has come out and stated that he might not extend his career after this is done. I guess I want to find the quote. I want to see if we can dig it up because I don't want to paraphrase the guy and take things out of context. But the gist of what he seemed to be saying was that he was tossing, you know, a retirement possibility out there. And if that is the case, as a GM, as tough as it might be, that's the last chance that you'll have to get some sort of value out of this guy. And if you think that maybe
they're not
going to
get anything from him.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think that there's going to be a team out there that, you know, might be just a goalie away from, in their minds, from winning.
Best
don't
think they're going to try to win. Regardless of the attitude, Fred, if you could just harness the talent, you only need him for 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine you would get some good value back for him.
Well, this is a change from you, too.
No. I never said that. I never said they wouldn't get anything for him.
Yes, you did.
When?
1 year. You said 1 year left at his age. I never said that. Well, they're not going to get a lot for him, and they don't think they are.
I said exactly what Rich just said. If you're a team that's a goaltender away, would you not pay through the nose to bring in that guy for one season? I know I would.
They're not
going to. Yeah.
By the way, they like Swayman. They do, and they think Swayman is perfectly capable. He's. By the way, he's only 21 years old.
And Vladar is what?
Swayman behind Vladash? Is that who we're talking about? Yeah.
Swayman is. Right. I don't know on where on the depth chart he is. I mean, he doesn't have any NHL experience.
They just signed him as a free agent. He was one of the best goaltenders in the country at the college level.
Yes.
And played for Maine. He was really, really good.
Yes.
But he's not a guy that can start 60 games for you next year if you trade Rask. That's what I'm getting back to. The whole argument is, what about the core of this team? What about the window closing? You have to make up your mind one way or another, and we agreed that Rask would be the linchpin for that. Direction they go.
If you have a piece that you have to move them.
Fred, what do you think they should do?
I think that it's a necessity that they move Tuukka Rask. I think the team is pretty
can
much.
Can they win without him?
Yes.
Can they win a cup without him?
Okay, let's see.
With the lineup as it is.
No, but that's not going to happen.
Okay, so they are going to rebuild a little bit.
No, they're going to reload. So what you're talking about is you're freeing up a ton of salary and I wanted to ask you about this Larson kid.
Mm-hmm.
No kid.
No.
29.
He and Krug are the same age.
Right. So yeah.
He'd be Krug's replacement,
essentially. So he is going to come. So you would bring that salary in, which apparently they're dead set on.
That's a lot of money. He's got an 8-year, $66 million contract.
By a significant amount.
Right. I understand. So I don't know.
Way,
I don't.
You're talking about Ekman Larson. His name is
Oliver Ekman Larson. He's the captain of the Arizona Coyotes.
He's 29 years old, and he's signed forever. And he's the back end of that deal is going to be garbage time. And he's played a ton of hockey.
He's already been. He's 29 and has been in the league for 10 years.
Yes. I am not overly convinced that that's the greatest move in the world.
And I could not agree with you more. I think that's absolutely true. If you're going to spend this amount of money, you should have just re-signed Krug. I don't understand why you have to bring this guy in.
Because I think that when they bring him in, that they think that McAvoy and him are this unstoppable first line that's going to give them a quarter of the game.
Now,
or a third of the game.
Ekman Larson is 6'1", 200 pounds. He's significantly larger than Krug is. But Krug is one of the best offensive defensemen in the league. I mean, this guy's more of a defensive defenseman, but as Flutich and Zauer, who we're going to have on later, was quick to point out, his playing time has decreased in the last 3 years.
Yes.
That's not a good sign for a guy that you're going to trade for and keep for 7 more years.
No, but when they free up Rask's salary, that's a ton of money that they have as well, and then they have pieces that they could move around. They're going to make a go at it.
Do you think Lundqvist got anything left, Fred?
Oh, no. 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 I'll answer for him. No. Do not bring that guy here. No.
I mean, that would be pretty funny.
It would be. And after the Bruins give up five goals a game, yeah, he'll be sitting his ass down. He'll be with that baseball cap on the bench next to everybody.
Halak and Swayman are going to be the
not Vladar. It's going to be Swayman next year. Yeah. Okay.
I believe so.
Okay.
Unless they think that he needs to play in Providence.
I would, well, considering he has played little or no minor league hockey, I would imagine that's the case.
So there is a chance that Vlad would be the backup, and then in the playoffs, maybe they bring up Swayman to be the backup.
Okay.
You got me excited about the Swayman guy, because I've not heard
about he's a piece that they are not willing to move, is what I hear.
Okay.
Is that he is a piece that they are not willing to move. He is a don't ask. Ahead of some huge names that he is a don't ask. It's a non-starter. Yes, cool. Danny boy.
Just real quick, they have a decision on goalies, too, because of the expansion draft next year and who you can protect from the Kraken. Yes. So they're saying if possible, if Tuukka was still here, he'd be a free agent, wouldn't technically be on your roster.
Mm-hmm.
So you could protect other goalies and then perhaps either sign Halak or Rask if you wanted.
So you're saying that's a benefit to keeping
it
to
Rask. Well, it could be a benefit for them in their last year of their deals.
But it also could be something where you have your goaltender stashed that you think is the goaltender of the future.
I was wrong. Swayman was a Hobie Baker runner-up. That's how good he was. So he wasn't just one of the best goaltenders. He was one of the best players in the country.
So Swayman is a non-starter, apparently, when it comes to the to trades. So that's been out there for a while. And
by the way, just to wrap this up, because I know we're up against a break, just about the package that you'd have to send to Arizona for a guy like Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and Yahoo Sports had a good breakdown of this. You'd have to send Arizona a first-round draft pick, a good young defenseman, and probably some salary to take back, for Arizona to take back.
You'd be able to dump some crap.
A middle, like Charlie Coyle's name was thrown in there, but I don't think it'd be Coyle. No. A Brandon Carlo... something like that.
Yeah.
They don't have a first round pick for this year because they used it on Andre
Kasha. No, they do not. And you didn't have one
which
in 2000.
I don't have a problem with.
And you didn't have one in 2018 as well. So that begs the question, if you trade yet another one, what does that do to your future in a couple of years?
All I know is the Ekman-Larsson thing I don't get. I've not heard anything about it. I don't understand it. And we'll talk to Fluto Shinzawa. That's why I wanted to have him on.
Don't want to do it.
Because I don't understand that. I just don't understand it. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't understand it.
Bruins Luchador says David Backesteel 2.0.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, with age and everything, sure. And in amount of time in the league and banged up, and the fact that he's played a lot of minutes, certainly. And who would know better than the Bruins Luchador? After all, his whole persona is based around the franchise. But when they free up Tuukka's contract, it will be interesting to see how they play with the numbers. And I hope you're right. I hope they can get something from him, because they're dealing from a place of desperation at this point with him. All right, Albert Breer. It's going to be very interesting if Rask is on this team next year.
I can't even imagine how the fans are going to react.
I can only imagine how one man in the organization is going to react, and he doesn't have his emotions well. All right, we'll be right back. We will, and he don't coach the team. We'll be right back.
He throws bottles.
Yes. Well, you've connected the dots. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.